Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending over in Las Vegas, with the Chiefs will take on, obviously, this Friday on Prime. Tom Pelissero says it'll be Aiden O'Connell is the expected starter for the Las Vegas Raiders. You might remember he beat the Chiefs in a game in which he completed a single pass in the second half, but it happened, and it's a realistic thing one way or the other, so he'll at least be the starter there. Of course, what's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Next up on What's Trending, DeMarcus Robinson was arrested for suspicion of DUI. Officers on the scene said he was driving over 100 miles an hour at the time he was pulled over. He's actually having the single greatest season probably of his career and is now ruined part of that season by getting a DUI.
Were you surprised that he wasn't driving in the wrong direction?
Backwards. He was driving in reverse, according to police, at least in parts of it. Although he's fixed part of that problem in L.A. too. Annoying. It's like somebody breaks up and they decide to better themselves. You're like, what the hell? This whole time, we could have been working on each other. But okay, fine. I guess do better for yourself now. Now that you're in a different situation. Very serious allegations for him. We'll see. He would likely face a suspension by the NFL once the legal process is done. We know the NFL does this. Rashee Rice doesn't even have a court thing on file, so who the hell knows when those things are coming. Lastly, on what's trending, the Rays have to declare, or Tampa Bay, the city, has to declare to the Rays whether they're planning on building them their new shiny stadium by Sunday, according to reports. They had agreed through council to pay $1.3 billion in public funds to build them a new stadium, but that has been put in ice a little bit as new people came into the council. They have until Sunday to declare whether or not they're going to do that. That's it for what's trending. We're going to keep it short today, because for the next 2 hours, my co-host will be Joshua Briscoe from SI on Chiefs. Is that how it's, you know,
other way around? Chiefsonsi.com will get you there. SI.com/NFL/Chiefs will get you there. KansasCityChiefsOnSI.com will get you there. I've got a lot of subdomains that I now have to make this as easy as possible.
You want people to be able to find it.
If you want Chiefs on SI to get, or excuse me, SI on Chiefs to get you there, I'll fire up GoDaddy right now.
You ever eat a 72-ounce steak? Because then we can get into the Chiefs, you know?
I have a bold take. I was, of course, listening, driving in here, and I have a bold take that I don't think you're going to like. I don't think Drew's going to like.
Okay.
I think I could do it.
You think you could do it in an hour?
If Ryan Fitzpatrick...
72 ounces, dude.
Ryan Fitzpatrick doing that with 11 minutes to spare is unquestionably the most impressive achievement of his athletic career. I think he would probably agree with that, right? Like that, It sounds unhinged, but I think, and you guys had this conversation, like Drew's point about his brother being able to eat more despite them being like the same build. The build isn't going to be the thing. It's it's about how much food you can eat comfortably and then how much you can eat after no longer being comfortable. I think I have a pretty high threshold in both of those categories.
Oh, man, so you're saying you're going to be pushing the limits, but you think you can get it done?
I do. I actually think the three shrimp I'm not worried about. That baked potato and the dinner roll, that is a little bit concerning.
You actually almost have to eat the dinner roll at first. I don't know.
I think
when you're really full, that's not going to go down great.
I think at the 30-minute mark, I'm like cutting the roll in half and then trying to put a slice of steak in between it just to like trick my brain into eating something different. Like, oh, it's a steak sandwich now. I don't think I'd do it in 49 minutes. I don't think it would be pretty. I don't think I'd be good to be around before, during, or after that. But I think that I could do it in an hour, really pushing up against it. And frankly, I'm afraid to try it as well for a whole
health
host
reasons?
Of issues. Yeah.
Didn't you already spend like 24 hours or 2 weeks in a hospital the last couple of years?
Somewhere between those two. But yeah, no. And see, that's the other thing. Not all calories are created equal. You give me a stack of donuts, I'm going to have to plan my entire day around that and also budget for some insulin. You say, here's a 72-ounce steak. It's a ton of protein. There is a lot of meat there. But I think I can handle my meat.
You can get away with that. Okay. Look, at least you're honest with yourself.
I think I can do it.
I'm expecting radio quality here for the next 2 hours. I'll be honest. You're following up a tough act. I thought Vinny Pasquantino delivered 7 perfect minutes of radio.
He did. It was incredible because he gave you the insight on Michael Massey, a beautiful human being. And
on his own surgery in which he says he feels great. And
Michael Massey's wife, a more beautiful human being, mm-hmm. according to Vinny. Keeping the plate is a huge move. I had a dear friend who you know, but I'm not going to name them here.
Sure.
Who had the most, I guess maybe the second most common form of cancer that would affect people with certain anatomy. Mm-hmm. And we had a conversation about, hey, are you going to ask if you can keep, let's say, the one they removed? And ultimately, he wasn't able to do that, I don't think. I think you have to maintain your right. If anything you remove from my body, I want it back.
Well, so like it either belonged to me in the beginning, like from birth.
Yes.
Or I paid for the metal plate. You're not reusing it. So may I please have it?
Either refund me the cost of the plate or put it in a jar for me to take home.
Yeah.
Put that on a mantle.
And if for some reason you ever get sick of it, Vinny, and you're listening to this show, we love items like that at the Cody and Gold Garage Sale every year. Vinny Pasquantino's metal plate from his hand. I can't even imagine how much nonsense money we would get for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum for that. It would be ludicrous. They'd be furious with us.
There's a level of game used, you know, for a jersey or gloves or a bat.
Game used
metal
plate. That's a
game used plate for sure. Not a home plate, a surgery plate.
Yeah, that is game used. Multiple games. Playoff games. That's, I mean, you know, it's got to be even more valuable.
I don't think I'm as funny or as talented as either Vinny Pasquantino or Ryan Fitzpatrick, so I have been set up to fail here today.
I've told Vinny to his face. And it annoys me about Jason Kelce, too.
Yeah. Oh, God, he's the worst.
I'm like, screw you guys for... what, you're going to be Hall of Fame level. You're going to be Major League Baseball. You know how much I wish I could hit a baseball 450 feet?
Yeah.
You're going to be like a Hall of Fame center. You're going to be one of the best players of your sport, but then you're also better than me in my job. That's kind of mean.
It's like when they...
That kind of hurts a little bit, if we're being honest.
I think people named the Kelce brothers the sexiest duo in podcasting. Hey, guys, where else am I supposed to be the sexiest wherever? Like,
ranked ourselves on midday on this show before. We've looked at all of the midday, mid-market sports talk shows. Top 10.
Across the nation?
Across the nation. Top 10.
Wow, really? That's good.
Well, that's all I can tell you.
Okay, it's an industry that skews a little older, and mm-hmm. a lot of times you can confuse age with beauty. So I think
a fair amount of people in the industry who are overweight and balding.
That's also a good point.
Helps us.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I'm going to say it's the Cody and Gold standard. I think you guys have really set something. Did you have a definitive like, well, that's, we're behind them for sure. Like, was there one or is there someone in your sights?
Former employee, Brandon Kiley.
Oh.
He hosts with a former, very handsome hockey player. Cooked.
Kiley grew his hair out a little bit too. Like he has evolved into a beautiful flower.
So they had us. Freaking they had BK. Us for sure. I'm willing to be honest about where we rank in the system.
Yeah.
But we were at least top 10. I felt good about that.
Get on the medal stand in the Midwest. Like try to shrink it down if you need to, and we'll try to angle that.
There
we get you an award. I would love to see a sign in here at some point that says like fourth handsomest midday, mid-market show hosts in the Midwest.
I'm going to start personally ranking them, and then it's just like we get the plaque just for our own, and I'll send just the plaque to the one I deem most handsome.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Send them the plaque.
The only thing I would add is that what you could do is just go ahead and put the entire leaderboard on the wall, and then maybe every Friday you kind of go through and check out how everybody's doing. You say, oh, you know what? We got a good haircut over here in Cincinnati. Yeah.
We saw some wedding photos, and it changed my opinion a
little
bit. Exactly. You know?
Or Jimmy in Cleveland let himself go a little bit. We're gonna have to kick them down a few notches. I hope there's not a midday show host named Jimmy in Cleveland because I made that up, but it seems plausible.
Seems more than realistic. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're gonna get to all 32. We'll each give an opinion on a team in the NFL. But look, I've decided to eliminate all teams from Super Bowl contention who are not both top 10 in defense and offense. And once I did the list, not knowing exactly the teams that were going to be on there, it only further confirmed the point. These are the teams that are a top 10 scoring offense and a top 10 scoring defense in the NFL. The Chiefs. And I know, it's crazy. They can barely beat the Panthers. They are 10th in scoring offense. They are 9th in scoring defense. A couple of weeks ago, they were like 11th or 12th in scoring offense and like 3rd in scoring defense. So it's taken a big swing. Lions are 1st and 2nd. They're solid. Vikings are 9th in offense, 5th in defense. Eagles are 7th and 6th. Bills are 3rd and 7th, and the Packers are 8th and 10th. If you forced me to add another team to this list, I guess I could just like make some excuse for the Ravens, but I'm not going to because they can't play defense. And if you are not just like the 11th ranked defense, or you're like the 23rd ranked defense, and you're letting every team you play score whatever they want to, against you, you will not eventually win the Super Bowl. Can you win a playoff game? Sure. Can you find yourself in an AFC championship game? Hypothetically, sure. But are you winning the Super Bowl? No. I do not think, especially because their number of losses means they're not getting the one seed. They can win 4 consecutive defenses with a bottom 10. Is this a crazy metric to judge them on? This is also why I take the Chiefs more serious. And somebody said, like, well, what are the Chiefs' defenses or offenses 11 next week? I said, they get a couple of spots for Mahomes.
Right. And that's, you know, the truth of all of these metrics that we're all doing is there's some matter of subjectivity within all of our search for objectivity, right? Trying to figure out, like, well, so why aren't the Ravens here or what? I think it's a good follow-up question. What if the Chiefs are 11th and what if they're 12th and 11th in those two categories next week? Well, I think you would be able to build that case on behalf of Mahomes and Andy Reid and a defense that has a better standard than these recent weeks have shown. Now, yeah. I think that that's...
They're getting knocked down the list because of a bad month. Sure.
And I think that bad month is going to continue in a lot of ways because that's a Jalen Watson stat to me as much as it is some grand mystery. But I also think the Chiefs offense is on a little bit of an upward trajectory here in a few ways that I'm sure we'll discuss over the next couple hours. But it's also the reason that I would go ahead and make that argument for Baltimore if you're talking about contenders. Because the other thing is, once you get to playoff time, the randomness really sets in. When you do have these one game sample sizes where crazy stuff happens, the Chiefs were a fingertip away from losing to Bo Nix's Broncos.
Sure.
They were you could pick any two plays. The Chiefs are 2 plays away from losing to Bo Nix, Josh Allen, and Bryce Young in 3 consecutive weeks. But
you can almost do this with. That's
absolutely
what's funny about it.
Like, absolutely.
Bills almost lost to Miami 2 weeks ago.
It's why the Lions at first and second in your offense and defense stats there and the way they've been winning. So the Lions feel a little bit more, I'm going to put in huge air quotes here, like legitimate. The thing with the Lions is Jared Goff going to have a nearly perfect passing performance in the postseason? If you gave me Jared Goff versus Spags right now, I just watched Bryce Young have his best game of his NFL career against Steve Spagnuolo, and I would still give Spags the advantage over the Lions offense if they were to meet in the Super Bowl tomorrow. So it is a fascinatingly flexible group for me that would probably include the Ravens, and I have my doubts about the Vikings,
but I have to take the Vikings seriously just based on this. Like, this list gave me newfound respect for them, because despite whatever issues they might have, the thing I would keep in mind is the Vikings, if they had a legitimate quarterback, they'd be the Super Bowl favorite. Like, if they had someone a lot better, if they had a top 5 quarterback, they'd be the Super Bowl favorite.
Yep.
What people underappreciate about the Vikings are they are better in almost every other area than most teams in the NFL.
Yes.
Every team has some fatal flaw. And for the Vikings' sake, you could say that eventually will be Sam Darnold. But if you look at their offensive weapons, loaded. Defensive weapons, loaded. Defensive coaching ability, loaded. Right? I think Kevin O'Connell is one of the 5 best coaches, 6 best coaches in the league.
I did too.
If you made me rank them out. So, like, they don't hold a lot of disadvantage. So when I see that they've been able to, even with Sam Darnold, maintain a positioning of a top 10 offense and top 10 defense all year, cool. You've told me all. Do I think they can beat the Packers and the, you know, the whatever, the Packers and the Eagles in back-to-back weeks? Yeah, probably. I mean, I wouldn't bet on it against the Eagles necessarily, but can they? Sure. I just don't think I don't want to take guesses on the NFC.
It's impossible.
The Lions are the best team, but their schedule is paper soft. So they haven't like beaten like other than playing their own division, which I get. The Packers and the Vikings are also in here, but it's like, I don't know who's coming out of the NFC. I know for a fact at this point, I would almost bet if you gave me I gave everyone else any other potential matchup, I'd bet almost anything it's just Chiefs Bills in the AFC title game.
Yeah, and like if you were to offer Chiefs Bills or the field just for the AFC representative in the Super Bowl, I think I would take Chiefs Bills. I don't know that I would take any 2 NFC teams. I certainly wouldn't take them as confidently as you just laid out. The thing with the Lions is that they have made their paper soft opponents look paper soft, right? Mm-hmm. That is something that counts for something.
Like UMKC versus Calvary, you know? Take care of the teams you got to take care
of. Exactly. You got to put them down when you have them on the ground. On the other hand, the Vikings are fascinating to me because they they might have the best argument up against the Chiefs in all of football for simply best coaching performances on each side of the football. Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores with Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo in this little fake matchup that I'm creating here. The Vikings have maximized what they have done so much on both sides of the football. They're a talented team, but you can see what they've done for Sam Darnold and what Flores has done for that defense, as opposed to a team like the Eagles, who I have never found any confidence in that entire coaching staff at this point, certainly not in Sirianni.
I know, but I have confidence in Saquon Barkley.
That team is talented as hell, dude. On both sides of the ball, that is a team that you do not want, you would not be excited to meet again in a game you have to have, because they could beat the hell out of you over the course of 60 minutes. So it's different ways of winning in the NFC, which I think is, I mean, it's happening all across football, to be fair. Different ways of winning, different results, and a bunch of teams that are kind of there floating at the top.
That's funny, like, because, like, I don't know. This is an interesting week because Andy doesn't talk today, so we're all just going to guess whether or not, is Aminihu going to play? Is Pacheco going to play? Is DJ Humphreys going to play? I saw he has a jersey.
Yes, he's officially on the roster. Congratulations.
I feel like they'll wait. They'll get a whole 9 days after this Raiders game to get him ready for an important Sunday night football game against the Chargers. That reeks of anytime. Here's a quick tip. If you want to follow the Chiefs, and this is like where media maybe has helped us a little bit more, is if you are like, I bet that player's coming back this week, wait another week.
Yes.
Just go ahead and add on one more week to whatever your initial expectation, maybe two, but at least one more week of whatever your initial expectation is for when you thought that player would get on the field. DeAndre Hopkins might have been the one exception to that rule.
Yes. He had three practices or whatever, and he was out there.
Well, but when he sat at the podium, he said, why wait?
Exactly.
I viewed that different. Because, like, that was the whole thing. Like, when I look at these teams, I think the Chiefs, like someone said, what if the Chiefs fall out of the top 10? I actually think it's likely that the Chiefs offense gets noticeably better over the last 6 weeks than gets worse.
I agree with that.
One is because they'll get Isaiah Pacheco back, and in a month, I think, probably around Christmas time, Hollywood Brown back. But I think we are ignoring what has been the obvious, like they're ranked 10th, even though they started slow. I know they started slow because Patrick Mahomes in his first six games had 6 passing touchdowns and 8 interceptions. And since DeAndre Hopkins was simply put on this roster, he has 12 passing touchdowns to 3 interceptions and 1,000 more yards than he had the first 6 games. So they've already gotten better on offense and they're expected to add more and presumably get better at left tackle. Like, I do think it's far more likely that this team goes from 10th to the 7th best offense than 10th to 13th. The defense, we can have a different conversation on. But on offense, I think it's far more likely they get better than get worse.
I think both sides of the ball are pointing in opposite directions right now, just in terms of the trends. And I think I would bet on those continuing to some level. I don't think the defense is going to bottom out. I think what you're seeing is about as bad as it's going to get. But yeah, it has not been great recently, and that may continue to evolve in that direction. I'm with you on the offense. I will say, and this is, it's very funny in light of your tip about snoozing expectations a week, I'd be absolutely shocked out of my gourd if DJ Humphreys really is even active against the Raiders.
I think
it'll
just be Kingsley is the,
I do too.
They gave him his 1 week of, you know, here's Driscoll.
Don't even think about game planning this week, Kingsley. Just like meditate and look at film and then
or
come back again.
Or get you with a therapist like in Ted Lasso or whatever.
Yeah, like that's fine. Do that. So he was active again last week. I imagine that Kingsley will be the backup swing tackle on Friday. I think Humphreys probably isn't starting against the Chargers. I've been looking at that Browns game as a little more likely. It's intricate though, trying to compare it to guys like Hopkins or other receivers, or, you know, we've seen how Juju came back and got a pretty heavy workload, or last year Mecole Hardman, you know, knowing the offense and all of that. Obviously it's different for an offensive tackle than it is for a wide receiver in terms of learning what Andy Reid demands from you in this offense and at your position group.
Yeah.
Quarterback and wide receiver are a totally different animal. Kareem Hunt came back after a long time away from the offense and was immediately productive, but he had some experience. He did spend 2 training camps in Andy Reid's offense, right? The thing with Humphreys is that he has to get used to not just Patrick Mahomes and how he plays and how he wants his left tackle to behave, but also Joe Tooney. There is a real chemistry thing to figure out between your left tackle, your left guard, and the quarterback. The great news there is that there is not a better quarterback and left guard to have that experience with.
Yeah, and I will say, like, this is what's so funny is, like, those are the things that, in watching football, I don't think a lot of people like to talk about because it's like, well, that's kind of boring. Like the handoff. Mitchell Schwartz was essentially like the equivalent of former NFL, burying Jawan Taylor's ability to hand people off.
That's right.
Essentially saying he's leaving Trey Smith out to die.
Yep.
Like one day he's going to learn how he's going to help Juwan Taylor's going to learn how to help Trey Smith not get killed.
Yes.
And he's like, today ain't the day, but one of these days, because you would see Trey Smith every once. This is the weirdo nuance stuff of football.
It's hugely important.
Where if you're not sitting on in a meeting, you wouldn't know, but you're like, damn, Trey's got cooked. What happened, dude? You got shoved over. And you're like, not even his job.
Not the guy that he was supposed to be responsible for there.
I had a different perspective after the blocked field goal from the Broncos after watching New Heights. Did anybody else watch? Did you watch this? So this is episode of New Heights. They're talking right after the blocked field goal against the Broncos. And Jason, Kelsey, and Travis are talking about the position, the guy who got shoved over and eventually the kick blocked. He said, it's the worst position on the entire football field. It's called tight end for the field goal unit. And your job is to stab the guy with your arm to the right, stab the guy to your arm to your left, and just let someone run at you full speed directly in your face. That's your job. That is what you are supposed to do. And you're like, well, no wonder he loses all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're supposed to win in that scenario.
It's impossible. And back to Taylor and Trey Smith, we discussed this last night on the very humbly named Josh Briscoe show. We had Zach Eisen on, also from ChiefsOnSI.com. And we talked a little bit about what Mitch Schwartz had tweeted and even talked about, which I think is terribly interesting. And Zach made the point that also Trey Smith and Juwan Taylor are a little bit of an inelegant pairing. They're both really good players. Trey Smith is a great player. And Juwan Taylor, I think, is a better player than he largely gets credit for, in part because of the penalties, which are his own problem to deal with. But Taylor's best trait is his athleticism. So he wants to get out into space and to use that body of his to make it really hard for you to find a path to the quarterback. Trey Smith, however, kind of wants to keep you in a phone booth and just outpower you, ground you into dust, and then you are not going to be able to go anywhere. The problem is with their diverging playing styles on that right side, you do create those essentially free rushing lanes right at Patrick Mahomes between your excellent right guard and your good right tackle, and the entire offensive line gets tanked by that. Honestly, it's something that makes me go back and revisit them signing Juwan Taylor. I always thought he was going to be a right tackle, a little more likely than a left tackle, and I didn't care that he was highly paid on the right side because you just have to have a left tackle and a right tackle. I don't really care where the money goes. The Chiefs couldn't completely complete that plan, but that's, I understood the idea. I didn't understand paying Taylor that money to immediately flip him. I could have gone either way, but whatever. After seeing the issues that Smith and Taylor have side by side, sort of philosophically, it does make me revisit, like, was this always the plan? Did the Chiefs or did Andy Heck see this coming as a potential issue? Or did they get surprised that maybe Taylor couldn't play a little bit smaller or that Smith is struggling in space a little more? I don't know, but it is, you're so right. It's minutia, but it's the type of thing that looks like Juwan Taylor or Trey Smith just straight up losing a rep that's really much more nuanced than that.
Coming up in 10 minutes, our guy Nate Taylor, who also co-hosts a podcast with Joshua Briscoe. Are you familiar with him?
I know this guy.
He'll be joining the show as a guest, not as a co-host in this situation. But first, let's get to all 32 in the NFL. And I'm going to tell you right now, people hate takes like this because what I'm telling you is factually correct, but no team will ever do it in fear of losing their job. No team in the NFL should ever sign a free agent quarterback to try to win the Super Bowl ever again. It's never worked. It's not working for the Falcons, and it's never worked for your team. It is the living embodiment of the meme that is Tobias Funke saying, has it worked for those other people? No, but it might work for us. I just went through the last 20 years of Super Bowl winners. Are there a couple trades in there? Sure. Sure, you can find a Matt Stafford who went to one or won one. You can find a Jimmy Garoppolo who went to one. Every other quarterback who has played in or won a Super Bowl was either drafted by the team or maybe a trade, right? You got to go all the way back to like Kurt Warner with the Cardinals to even like make an argument for it. Never. If you're a team and you're like, I'm going to win now. If you want to just reset the franchise so that you're not a loser franchise, fine. But I would say the second you get that job, start making your plan for drafting a quarterback. To stabilize yourself, fine. If you talk yourself into, we're bringing in Kirk Cousins and we're going to win the Super Bowl this year with the Falcons, idiotic, and it's never going to work.
Unless Peyton Manning handpicks you as his next destination.
That's the one.
Don't do it that way. Why couldn't Peyton have picked somebody else?
Anyone else.
God.
But in fairness now the Chiefs kind of get the lap. Like, they've only got as many franchise Super Bowls or maybe the same amount of franchise Super Bowls as the Denver Broncos now. You don't have to feel as bad about that one. Peyton Manning's the last. That's the only. There's two, I think, in the last 20 years. So, okay, I guess if you can get an all-time great. right?
Yeah. If you can get one of the three,
okay, not even kidding. The only examples of this are Peyton Manning, Tom Brady in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So if you can get two of the five best quarterbacks to ever walk the planet Earth,
ever.
Fine. You know what? Go nuts.
Do it.
If Patrick Mahomes is a free agent at 40 years old,
someone should sign him.
Go for it. But if it's not him, don't waste your time.
It also might be almost him and not work twice if you're Brett Favre.
This is not even
working. Even that guy doesn't work all the time.
I didn't think they'd win a Super Bowl, but I thought it would work better for the Falcons than it has.
Yeah,
it also wasn't. Peyton Manning also wasn't the reason why they won that Super Bowl.
Oh, no, it was the defense.
So it's not like we can say, yeah, it was Peyton Manning was the guy that really led that thing.
What do you got for us, Briscoe?
Okay, Drew, you want a quarterback who can turn his neck. I get it.
Oh, okay.
I want to talk about the New York Jets because, my goodness, I think their GM search is in excellent hands. I'm not going to trip over any hot wires here, but it's worth noting that their owner may leave the team to join a political administration. He did this 4 years ago. So right now, the Jets ownership, led by Woody Johnson, is figuring out how are we going to find our next GM and our next head coach. Here's how they're doing it. The Jets are retaining the 33rd team to support them on their upcoming general manager search.
Blog site? They could have hired you.
The website, I'm available, Jets. But per Adam Schefter, former Jets general manager Mike Tannenbaum and Vikings general manager Rick Spielman will lead the project for the NFL technology and media company. You heard me right, folks. The New York Jets and their search for the next general manager to lead that absolutely decrepit franchise to the mountaintop. They're hiring a GM they've already fired. How can you not believe that's going to work out great? Just go ahead and bring in one of your recent high-profile failings. Have him pick the next guy. What I would love, I think this happened with the Dolphins years ago, right? I can't remember who it was now. I hope Mike Tannenbaum goes through a vigorous search process. And he says, all right, Woody, here's what I found. You need somebody who has NFL experience.
He's going to hire Brian Billick.
None of these first-time GMs.
Former Super Bowl-winning coach Brian Billick.
None of these first-time GMs, no thank you. You need someone who's been there before. And Woody, you need somebody who understands the New York market. What you really need is a forward thinker, a refreshed mind, someone who understands the surroundings but can help you take it to the next level.
His name's Mike.
I think you should hire Mike Tannenbaum. Signed, Mike Tannenbaum.
Drew, we're going to get to yours in a little bit here. Okay. Let's take a quick break.
Sorry,
we'll
I talked so long, Drew.
We'll no, I talked too long, I think is what it was. We'll get to Nate Taylor on the other side. He's working over the Athletic. I am told that Patrick Mahomes and his media availability gave his start, bench, and cut for Thanksgiving. We can get to that with Nate Taylor next. Back in here on Cody and Gold. Cody Tapp, Joshua Briscoe with you. Drew Nixon on the other side. Few injury updates over for the Chiefs on practice. Cam Jones and Spencer Schrader will not practice today. There's some reporting last night that Schrader probably missed the game on Friday due to his hamstring. So Matthew Wright has been signed to the practice squad in case he's unable to go on Friday. He has kicked for the Chiefs before in a limited capacity in some way. Also, Peyton Hendershot was placed on the injured reserve list. So
Baylor Cup back up from the practice squad here, according to one Nate Taylor.
Which just put in a claim on Dulcich or something?
Yeah, 1,000%. Okay. I thought they might do that before this Hendershot thing happened. The Chiefs are on tight end 6 now. It's as we all thought, 35-year-old Travis Kelce, Iron Man, never leaves the field.
Plays 90% of the snaps.
Breakout year for Noah Gray. And then everybody else has been lost for the year. I mean, Wiley, Fortson, and now Hendershot all to IR, just trying to be the third tight end for this team that was playing legit 14 personnel for a moment here or there this season. They have two tight ends now, legitimately. Cup has at least been around, so he knows the offense a little bit.
Joining us now, our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor, over at The Athletic. He's been covering the team at the facility. Nate, I guess I don't really care if it's Schrader or Wright. It's a backup kicker. Am I supposed to be like,
what?
Oh, no, no. It's a different backup kicker? I don't know. I mean, you know. It's fine.
Look, every hey, man, all the details matter. Every piece of this matters, Cody, of course. I mean, what terrible news for Spencer Schrader,
who
I
guess,
suffered an injury, I guess, doing a workout, just doing a little, like, you know, a little lift. Matthew Wright, God knows where he was, is here today. DJ Humphrey, God knows where he was, he's here today. Some dude I've never seen before is here today. Don't know his name. It's too much. Fellas, there's entirely too much going on. But this... this really puts the exclamation mark, the punctuation, I would say, on just the injury bug absolutely trying to overtake this team as they try to do an unprecedented thing in the 105 years of the NFL, which is, you know, win straight Super Bowl. So with all this information, a little bit of which that I just put out on Twitter, because the team has finally, like, gotten through all the roster mechanisms and transactional stuff, because they have to do that before they practice today. Okay, so now, with all of this in mind, guys are coming back. I'm at the point now where I'm like, how many guys are legitimately going to play a snap in the 2024 season, fellas? It might be the most since I've ever covered this team in, 2017, 2018? It's wild. It's absolutely wild. But hey, they're gonna play on Friday with a new kicker, with a tight end we may have never heard of before. Or Carson Steele's gonna play tight end. Who the hell knows?
That's fine. I'm open to that, I guess, at least from this perspective. But also, like, I understand that, but this is also what's kind of offensive about the way the NFL does these awards. Do we just ignore circumstance? Like, circumstance means nothing for NFL Coach of the Year. It's only expectation versus what took place. Shouldn't circumstance play some factor? He's down like 15 or 20 players at this point.
They have a full practice squad of injuries. Full. Like, they could put out another lineup of injuries. And so, yeah, my belief is this. If there was ever a time since we've known Andy Reid to be Andy Reid, if there was ever a time to really consider him for the award, it would be this year. And I think it kind of hinges on the fact, can you get these guys to the finish line? Which, in my opinion, is Christmas Day against the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you win that game, that will pretty much all but assure the one seed. And if he gets this particular Chiefs team to the one seed with as many in and out substitutions, holy smokes, wasn't Juju supposed to be part of the game plan? Yeah, he's done. Patrick's like, it's the first quarter. Yeah, he's cooked. He can't play. Yeah. You're going to be targeting Noah Gray against the San Francisco 49ers. Okay, cool. Hey, did I just injure my best receiver? Yeah, man. His knee's gone. It's completely blown up. What? Hey, Patrick, what do you want to run on this next drive in the second quarter? So with all that to be said, if they get the one seed after all of this with their third kicker, then, yeah, that goes to coaching. And Andy always says you coach the coaches so that the coaches can better coach the players. How can he not win the award? But I understand Dan Campbell exists, and people love Dan Campbell. Even I love Dan Campbell. But you might not get the one seed if the Chiefs get the one seed and the Lions maybe falter, and maybe they get supplanted by the Eagles for the one seed in the NFC. How could you not give him this award?
Is there a world in which hey, Nate, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Briscoe's a co-host today, just to make this clear. He's not like a second guest at the same time.
Oh, that would have been pretty fun. I mean,
that would have been great.
Cody.
Two
Cody,
guests at the same time. Hey, this one's for you. First part, second, if you don't mind.
Cody, I wish you were a Northern Midwesterner lawyer, but since you're not, we'll just do this show instead.
I like Joe's, if that counts.
That definitely makes us all more comfortable here. Is there a solution with the deep ball returning that might be the thing we need to make the Andy Reid Coach of the Year campaign happen? Because I feel like that's the other issue that's getting in the way. We talked about this last night on the humbly named Josh Briscoe show, where I had to do a thing where I was like grading the Chiefs coaching staff. And I think people are deeply frustrated with what the Chiefs offense has been, but it's because they've lost all of their players, as you just laid out. The only guy on this team who I think has been legitimately completely healthy and playing a full workload this year is 35-year-old Travis Kelce.
Yes. Yeah, I saw your tweet. It was just like, guys, this wasn't the plan. No. Like, at no point was this the plan, but it's happening. Which, again, is a credit to Travis, because you could tell that he's like, can I just preserve my body till January? And they're like, hey, man, we need another route. And he's like, come on. So this is a great point, because it really does hinge on Xavier Worthy. And there were a couple times where I thought maybe Patrick could try him in a one-on-one deep ball situation against the Panthers. But, you know, I understand. They still scored 30 points. It's not like they were terrible. Again, the same issue remains the same. And I saw DJ Humphries today, guys. I saw him with my own eyes. And I said, oh, yeah, that's right. That was Friday. Yeah. That was Friday. So, yeah, a lot of moving parts. But for the coaching staff and for the quarterback and to some degree the receiver, because he is so inexperienced and this is, you know, everything's new to him. So, you know, you're not relying on, like, a fifth-year veteran and they're just not connecting. Like, there's something to be said about a rookie who needs to get on the same page with the quarterback, and the quarterback who honestly hasn't thrown to a guy this fast since Tyreek Hill was, you know, like in his prime. So, okay, we've got the right coverage. We've got the right personnel. We got them, kids. All we got to do is play fake, make the defense think one thing, we'll go over the top. Oh, my God, why is he right next to me?
Yeah.
What? Oh, my God. Wasn't he supposed to be blocked? What? Like, like, it is amazing that on a down-to-down basis, and when I say down-to-down, I mean a true passing down. There is no illusion of running the football on third down, or, hey, maybe it's a first down call, and the defense kind of knows they want to take a shot, because, like, every team would want to take a shot on first down.
Nate,
what kind of protection am I getting? Is Wanya's playing through so much pain, guys? It's absurd, and he's battling through it, and you can tell because the Panthers realized in the second quarter, well, if we just use speed rushes, we can just get by him because, you know, this whole knee thing is like bothering his footwork or bothering his technique or like the fact that he can't do it consistently over and over. And with Juwan Taylor, it's, well, I mean, I can go out and in. I can also try to go around, and I'm just David Klein. I'm, like, actually good. You know, I'm not just some regular dude. Like, I'm a good guy on a terrible roster. So if Patrick doesn't know what he's going to get down to down, how the coaching staff knows what they're going to get down to down? And so you know what we should do? We should just incorporate another new guy into the mix, you know, as we try to get the one seed in 2 weeks from now with DJ Humphries.
When you look at – so, like, I guess here's the question I have as it relates to the other side of the ball. The defense, which has actually been the unit declining versus the other side where I think the offense has been getting better. I ask myself this sincerely because I think it's kind of a difficult answer. Why is a defensive line unit with the identical players from the previous 2 years who were third in sacks 2 years ago, second in sacks last year, 26th this year, Nate? Ooh. I'm not even kidding. Dana, Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Turk Wharton, Felix Anudike Uzama. These are the same players, Nate. Why are they so much worse?
I think it's a couple things. Chris Jones is playing more snaps than he needs to, but that's out of a necessity because he has to be on the field to legitimize anything you have from a pass rushing standpoint, to at least get a one-on-one for somebody or to set up a blitz if that's what you want to do. So, again, I haven't looked at the numbers because obviously they changed it Sunday, but I mean, Chris Jones was close to like what 80% of the snaps. I don't know if Josh can look that up really quick. He needs to be down to like 65-70%. But he has to be on the field for anything, right? Tershawn Wharton had a great start to the season. He has kind of tapered off. George Karloftis has been very like hit or miss. It's weird. Like he should be better than this, but also like it's somewhat explainable because you know he doesn't have like a myriad of push rashy moves, and he's also not the most explosive. So he's someone who helps collapse the pockets, which again, the Chiefs have done pretty well because they continue to get, you know, pretty good pressure numbers. If you look at it from just a data standpoint that doesn't involve sacks, Mike Dana, I think, is the biggest issue. The fact that he has not been healthy this season and that his production, him being sort of the third guy in the waiting of Charles Omenihu, it has just not gone as well as you would hope. So it was nice that he got a sack because Chris Jones was literally destroying worlds. And finally, Mike Dana won his one-on-one. Congratulations to him. He gets a sack, and he gets the forced fumble. It's unfortunate that they didn't pick up that ball. But here's the issue. Spags is now having to blitz out of necessity instead of luxury. And because you don't have Legarius Sneed just absolutely assaulting guys at the line of scrimmage, and you don't have Trip McDuffie, you know, from the slot position, sort of being a shadow for any receiver who wants to run out of the slot, you can't get cover sacks now. So it's a combination of things, but Chris Jones needs to be playing less instead of more. Mike Dana, you hope this is the start of a new trend because he's getting a little healthier in the second half of the season. And Nazi Johnson is not going to put anybody in handcuffs. So it kind of means you have to blitz more than you probably want, or you're not in an advantageous situation where it's third and eight and you're like, man, if we just cover this one part of the field and we blitz, quarterback has no solutions. Right now, even Bryce Young's like, hey, dog, just run it out. Well, who is it? It don't matter. Any out. It's an out route. It could be Brian Cook. It could be Justin Reed. It's obviously going to be Tremaine Connor, most likely. Or it could be against Najee Johnson. Hey, I like the one-on-one matchup. And that's unfortunate, but that's kind of where we are.
Those are not hypotheticals, by the way. They won all four of those. They beat all four of those guys on out routes against the Panthers. Also, Nate, it was 85% of the snaps for Chris Jones.
Oh, my God.
82% on the season, 73% last year.
He took one more snap than George Karloftis on Sunday.
Jesus. I mean, guys, listen to that. Imagine getting double teamed at largely the highest rate in the league right now because you're so good. You cannot get one-on-one. So even when you get one-on-one, that sort of makes the interior of the defensive line work. So you can't even go outside as much as you would like. Now do it over and over and over again for 80% of the snaps, man. This is an issue of injuries. The Chiefs literally just cut Cameron Thomas today.
Saw that.
That didn't work. Work out, kids. Hey, Josh Uche, I would probably play him more snaps, guys. But Steve Spagnuolo's like, look, we have an onboarding process. It takes a while. Okay, well, Mike Fennell's not a pass rusher. I mean, okay, Tershawn Warren's right next to me. It's not like I can ask him to play more snaps. He's coming off a freaking ACL, man. They have nobody, which means, hey, dog, you got to play 80% of the snaps, and you got to be dominant. No one outside of Aaron Donald has done this in the last two decades.
Nate.
And it's crazy to me that he's held up this well this late in the season with this much of a burden to get consistent pressure on the quarterback.
Is it Minshew coming back this week?
He wants to. He has made it very clear.
This damn team, man, they slow walk injuries. It drives me nuts. They think someone's just going to fall apart at the seams. Be like, hey, a guy could come back, any second, 1 month later, and then they're on there.
Here's the medical part that I understand. Why will we play you against Carolina at whatever, noon, our time?
Yeah, that one last week made sense.
Have to fly back, and then, of course, have to play on a shorter rest against the Raiders. Hey, man, if he's ready, roll him out there for 10 snaps. I don't care. You got to start getting some sweat on
Isaiah Pacheco. It's all Felix Anudike's getting. I mean, he can't get 9 snaps.
It's all Joshua Uche's getting. It's all anyone other than Mike Dan and George Karloftis are getting.
That's what I'm saying. So, hey, get him 10 to 15 snaps against the Raiders. You get a longer recovery time for the next game against, what is it, the Chargers?
Yep.
So they really should do it this week. I don't know why they wouldn't, other than to just be like, we think we can beat the god-awful Raiders by 3 points without you, which, fair point.
Nate, we're going to play a clip of what Mahomes just said in the postseason, or in the press conference, and I want you to give me your answer to the same question.
Start, bench, cut, turkey, yams, macaroni, and cheese.
Oh.
I mean, I'm cutting turkey. probably the other two I love. I'll probably start macaroni and cheese if it's made the right way, and then bench yams.
First, I don't know what right way of macaroni and cheese. We all have a different debate on that. If it's just general, it doesn't have to be the three that we're given there. Of the three, start, bench, and cut. Yes. What are your Thanksgiving choices?
I wish stuffing was substituted for turkey, because I think that would make it a much more entertaining thought process. But hey, shout out to Steve with the question. I know exactly what Patrick's getting at, fellas, when he says make it the right way. Hey,
baked.
I'm Beverly. Sit down. No. Not for you. Let grandma handle that, okay?
Yeah.
Hey, Aunt Donna, stop it. Get away from the pan, okay? Let grandma handle this.
You said heavy cream and a little bit of char on top. This is what it sounds like to me.
Hey, this is no time to experiment in the red zone, okay? Get the ball into the end zone, grandma.
I need a recipe older than me.
Yes, exactly. And I know comedians have made this joke, so I'm just mostly replicating this. I'm not saying this. You got a little jiggle in your arms? Okay, then you've been through the wars. Okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's roll, all right? Now here's my answer, okay? It depends on the day. Right now, I've had very little coffee, which means I probably need yams. So I'm going to say yams, mac and cheese, then turkey. Mm. Now, you can catch me on another day, and I might say, hey, man, is pepper and salt on the table? Because if it is, give me the mac and cheese of grandma making it, okay? Now, look, I love yams just like everybody else, but I think Packers getting to a cultural thing here. And again, I think it was Blair Kirkhoff who said, "Sir, what do you mean if it's cooked the right way?" And what a follow up. And Patrick's like, "I am biracial. I cannot go further." And I was just like, "No, man, you can go further. You can always go further."
Real quick, are yams a cultural thing too? Because that's not something commonly served at the Tap household.
Yeah.
Oh, and so we got stuck with green bean casserole. That slop. I don't even like that dish.
Oh my God! Get it out of my face.
Listen, I told Cody I had a take that wasn't going to be popular. Green bean casserole's my one.
Oh, one.
You love it?
Terrible.
Your one.
My one.
How white are you?
I need grandma's recipe that came off the can 45 years ago. That's my one.
Not me.
Oh my God.
Hey, Cody, that's hilarious.
Wow. Oh, good Lord. Wow, you're a pale, my friend.
I am.
He wants that cream of mushroom soup.
It tastes wonderful.
It's like the only seasoned thing white people make, Nate. That's what Josh is
talking
about.
This is what I want.
You know what? For you, fine. Hey, if this is the one time you're going to get casserole this year, I guess. But look.
I'm not making it in June.
Well, this is a casserole king holiday. Let's admit that.
Yeah, this is a casserole holiday.
Yeah.
Yes, it really is. It's a casserole and it's a pie holiday. Get that cake out my face. No cookies, no cinnamon buns. Get them all out my face. Where's the pecan pie? Where's the sweet potato pie? Where's the pumpkin pie? I mean, apple's fine, but like, I can have apple pie any time of the week, Ma. So look, all I'm saying is, within all of this, Patrick, it's okay, man. You got to do both sides, and that's fine. That's beautiful, honestly. That's the American dream, I guess, in a sense, weirdly. Hey, it's okay, man. Just tell us what it is, man. Because you know what? If you're trying a new recipe right now, no. If you're trying to take less cheese out of the mac and cheese, then no. That's not what this is about. And so I just, you know, I understand Patrick is a very savvy human being. But what a great follow-up. And I just wish we would have gotten the truth from him. Because honestly, he's pretty great at being honest. But it's just like, you guys know what I mean. And I was like, Patrick, not everybody knows what you mean. Literally, not everybody knows what you mean. Okay, it's okay. But yeah, with candy yams, ladies and gentlemen, what you want is a nice warm smothering of, in any particular order, brown sugar, marshmallows. Hell, put graham crackers in it. I don't care.
Ooh.
Cinnamon has to be the star player, okay? If the yams are the offensive line moving us down the field, we need plenty of skill position players. Like I said, cinnamon, okay? Brown sugar, that's your great tight end. Flexible in any situation, okay? And then you go over the top with marshmallows. It's easy, guys. It's such an easy thing. I would encourage all my white friends to just, you know, talk to somebody and put it down. You know, try something new that will bring you closer to the warmth that is Thanksgiving.
I have to defend my specific green bean casserole honor with one additional detail. I, of course, am a Midwestern white, but the recipe origins for this green bean casserole, Nate, came from the same place where the Chiefs scout for cornerbacks. Okay, so I want you to know that this is not a green bean casserole that came north and fell south. This is a Southern grandma's green bean casserole that I'm looking for here, and I understand now. It's really important that I add that context, but that's
defend himself.
I just have to make sure that the jury has all the details here. That's all.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I said I would include stuffing is because I know y'all know what that is, okay? Mm. Now, if I wanted to go a little bit more blacker, I would say, where the greens at? Where the greens at? You know, now we can go three wide with greens.
Have you had greens before, Briscoe?
Sure.
Not from the Thanksgiving table as often, though. I think that's...
No, I've had them, just not at... Yeah, it's not a Thanksgiving.
That did not permeate the Briscoe tradition.
So, you know, a pro style offense, you understand, ladies and gentlemen, includes stuffing. All right. If you want to go a little more RPO, a little more college style, a little more advanced, bring in greens. OK, see what the greens can do on the field.
I just got a text from my mom that says that my grandma's respective recipes are like 70 years old. I'm going back to the sacred text. That's what I want to put out
there.
Hey,
thank you, Ma. Thank you. OK, you know what? You didn't make that recipe, and now we're good. We're good.
We're good. Hand that down through generations.
Nate, that's right. We appreciate the time, as always. We'll catch up next week.
Yes, sir. Let's see who's on the injury report next week.
Hopefully no one else. My God, I can't take it anymore.
Stay healthy.
Just get through Friday. Nate Taylor Please. Of The Athletic. You can catch his work over there. We were given as a gift like 10 years ago a recipe full of like my grandma's and
Oh, that's
recipes.
So great.
All in her that handwriting. Really cool. Oh, like all oh, in her really? Old cursive.
Yeah, nice.
That's
that
awesome.
Was the that was the dinner roll for that's the really Taft cool. family. It's made with real lard. Like you gotta go to store and buy lard. You can't like there's no like and by the way, that's the other thing. I'm not looking for your health conscious substitutes
not today.
For my Thanksgiving meal.
No, sir.
I am open to those at other times. If the recipe that you read from 100 years ago calls for lard, go get the lard.
Go find it.
That's what made it taste good when you were a kid, and that's what's going to make it taste good now. We come back, we'll get to more Chiefs, including, what is an overfilled cup here at this point of injuries for the Chiefs? Let's talk about that next.